Happy New Year! How many of you would confess that you've already broken one of your New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Yep, there's at least one or two hands in the room. How many of you have resolved never to make a New Year's resolution again? Yeah, there's the most resolved hands in the room. Hey, let me ask you a question. What would you do if there was a bank account with your name on it, and every day, $86,400 got deposited into that bank account for you at the strike of midnight? Every day, a new $86,400 into your bank account. How many of you are like, I'd like that? That sounds like a winner to me. Hey, but now, there is one catch to this bank account, and that is at the end of every day, 1 second before the strike of midnight, whatever's left in your bank account goes back to zero. Balance closes, zero, nothing left. Only to start over again on the next day with $86,400 more. What would you do if you had a bank account like that? A lot more stuff than you're doing right now, right? Yeah, we'd be spending some of that $86,400 every day. We would probably do our best to spend as much of it as possible. I mean, I'm kind of like you. I'm a little bit greedy every once in a while. I'd be like, you know, I can get another ice cream cone. You know, I got, you know, a few seconds left. I could buy something else, you know, with lots of money. Because what I don't use, I'm going to lose it. Well, here's the truth. Every one of us has a bank account kind of like that, but it's a bank account not of dollars, not of money, but of time. 86,400 seconds in every day that we're given. You had 86,400 seconds yesterday. You got to spend all of it. You got to use all of it, however you chose to do it. But at the end of yesterday, it was all gone. You couldn't carry any of it over into today. And today, you got a new, if we all keep breathing all the way through the day, we get 86,400 of those seconds today. But you don't get to carry any of it into tomorrow. When it's gone, it's gone. When it's used, it's used. It's time. It's a very valuable commodity. And I want to talk about time today. I want to talk about the best of time. The best of time. In Psalm 90, verse 12, there's a scripture that the New Living Translation says, teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. Teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. The best of time, the most of time. You know, there's a phrase that begins the book, The Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens, that says, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And that could probably describe life today for a lot of people. But I'm not talking about the best of times. I want to talk about the best of time. What do we do with our time? How do we make the best? How do we make the most of the time that we've been given? How can we be good stewards of time? You've all been given the same amount. It's how do we invest that that's going to matter. And there are five areas where I think that we need to be good stewards of our time. First of all, in our time with God. That's really where the priority needs to start in our life, is our time with God. And let me ask you a question this morning. How much time in a day should we give to God? Should we give Him an hour a day? Should we give Him 2 hours a day? How much time should we give to God? Somebody says 10%. So if there's 24 hours in a day, it'd be 2.4 hours, whatever that is. I don't know how to convert 60 minutes into, you know, 100, you know, all that. But anyhow, but here's the deal. That's not the right answer. How much time do we need to give to God? All of it. All of our time. Every moment of your day. You say, Pastor, that's impossible. How can you give all of your time to God? You know, we can't pray all day long. I mean, you got to stop and eat sometime. Hey, listen, when you're eating, you can spend that time with God. When you're working, you can spend that time with God. When you're having fun playing, whatever it is you're doing, we ought to live our life in a God consciousness, in a God awareness, to where there's just this ongoing communication between us and God, and we're just always aware that He's there. How many of you have ever been on a road trip with somebody and, you know, you're riding down the road and you're having this vigorous conversation and you're just talking up a storm. You're just, you know, whatever the conversation's all about. And then you get to this point where it's kind of like that conversation ends and then there's just this pause in the conversation. Maybe there's a period of time where things are just quiet. Nobody's talking. You're just kind of looking out the window, just watching life go by, watching, you know, the scenery go by. And then something sparks and you have another conversation. But see, that's kind of the way I believe that we need to spend our time with God every day. It's like we just get in the car with God today. And God and us, we're just in this car together. And there are times where we're having some very active conversation. There are times when we're praying. There are times where I'm really very conscious of the presence of God in my life and my need for Him to guide me. And I've got this decision that I need to make. God, can you help me out? And Lord, you know, I want to do this, but there's this other thing that's got to work out before this is going to happen. So can you kind of go before me and prepare the way? And so we're having those real active conversations with God. And then there are those times where you're just at peace to just be in the presence of God. And He doesn't have to be actively saying anything to you, and you don't have to be actively saying anything to Him, but you're just aware of the presence that you're giving to God. And so the first thing that we need to do is we need to make God a priority in our life. And Martin Luther, some of you remember him. He's the Protestant reformer who started all the Protestant denominations. There was a story told of him that he had a very particularly busy day in his life. And he made this statement. He said, I have so much to do today that I need to spend 3 hours in prayer with God. Now, for most of us, if we're be honest, we probably wouldn't say, I've got so much to do, I need to spend 3 hours in prayer with God. A lot of us, if we're honest, we'd say, God, I got so much to do that I'm sorry, I'm not going to have but just maybe a couple of minutes to spend with you today because I got to do all this other stuff, but I'll try to make it up tomorrow. Martin Luther understood that if we're going to get through the day and get accomplished everything that really matters in a day, and we got to make God the priority, put Him first in our lives. You know, the Bible says that we're to pray without ceasing. And that again, always talking to God? No, but in this dialogue, this awareness of God every day of our life. So first of all, I want to encourage you in this year, in this new year, with the time that you're given, that you first of all give your best time to God. Give it all to God, all your life. Commit your everything. And here's another thing. You say, well, what if God doesn't want to be in on what I'm doing right now? Then you probably ought not to be doing that. Okay? If you can't invite God into whatever it is you're doing, if you can't invite God into your conversation, if you can't invite God into your activity, if you can't invite God into whatever it is, if you can't invite God there, you probably don't need to be doing it. Number two, we need to spend quality time with family. Time with family. And there has to be a balance in that. And really, I think what I want to emphasize there, where we're talking about God, He gets all of it. And talking about family, that when we do spend that time with family, that we make sure that it really is good, quality, valuable time that we invest with our family. Some of you have been around long enough to remember a song by Harry Chapin. It was a number one song back in the 70s called Cats in the Cradle. Cats in the Cradle. It's a song about a dad talking about his relationship with his son and how that his son kept saying, I'm going to grow up to be like you, Dad. And And he actually does. In fact, listen to just a couple of the words. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. He was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball. Now, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. And he said, that's okay. And he walked away and he smiled and he said, you know I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And here's the final verse. I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have a flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he had grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Now, this isn't a Father's Day sermon. This is a time sermon. This is a what's important sermon. This is a family message, that family is important. You know, at the end of most people's life, they don't lay on their deathbed saying, I wish I had worked more. Not too many people would ever say that. But there's a lot of people who would come to the end of their life and say, I wish I'd spent more time with my family. Let me tell you two things. If you're going to spend more time with your family, you're going to have to say yes and you're going to have to say no. First of all, you're going to have to say no to some things. You've got to say no to some time robbers, things that would try to steal your time and keep you from spending that quality time that we need to spend with families, pouring into our children, enjoying our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our family, that we've got to spend the time with them. And there are these things in life that creep up, and these things that happen in life, and you intended to do it, and then the next thing you know, you just didn't get it done. It's these time robbers, and we got to learn how to say no to it. I'm not getting a phone call. I'm actually checking a text here. It came from Edgar Gonzalez, our Hispanic pastor. It was sent to me about a month ago. It was the beginning of December, and we had planned a staff Christmas party. It had been planned all year, had the date on the calendar and everything, and Edgar Gonzalez, our Hispanic pastor, one of our staff, writes me to tell me he's not coming to my staff party. Well, let me read the text to you. He said, hope you're feeling better and having a great vacation time. Just to let you know, we won't be able to make it next week to the staff dinner because Isabella, his daughter, will be singing at her school recital at the same time. We were looking forward to having the time of fellowship next time. Blessings. He learned to say no to something that a lot of people might would have said was really, really important. What did Pastor Tommy think about that? I wrote back. I said, yes, I'm completely well, thank you. Now, I know some of you may wonder about that statement, but just go with me. And thank you for letting me know about the staff dinner. You and your family will certainly be missed, but I absolutely understand the importance of supporting your daughter. I hope your family has a wonderful time together. And just times where you've just got to say no to the time stealers, the time robbers in your life. And then, secondly, you have to say yes to making some happy memories. You got to plan that. You got to say yes to that. You got to say, yes, I will carve out important time to spend with my kids, with my family, to realize that, you know, we're not all going to be here forever. We don't always have tomorrow promise. And so there are those things that we've got to make plans and say, yes, I'm going to do that. If the guys would put a picture up just between Christmas and New Year's, I had an opportunity with my family to go out to some land that we've got down in the southern part of the county area, and we set a bonfire. I mean, I'm building a house out there. There ain't nothing but a hole in the ground right now, but I was like, no, let's go out there. We'll build a bonfire. We'll cook some hot dogs. We'll have some s'mores, And we did that. And most of my family was able to be there and just to sit around the fire and enjoy that time together. And I was able to walk away from the fire out into the darkness with my grandkids. And I saw the Big Dipper right there in front of me, just as plain as day, this beautiful sky. And I said, "You see those three stars lined up in a row right there?" I said, "That's the edge of the Big Dipper." And I tried to help them to see what the Big Dipper was. You say, "Is that a big deal?" Yeah, that's a big deal. It's a real big deal. Because you see, I want my kids to know that their dad, their granddad, was a pastor and was a preacher. But I also want them to know that he loved his kids. He loved his grandkids. He made time for them. He poured into them because they were special. And I'm hoping that every time my kids see the Big Dipper, they'll go, "Yeah, Granddaddy showed me the Big Dipper. I'll never forget it." You've got to make those memories. You've got to say yes to that. I want to encourage you this year. Listen, folks, I'm saying something that's really important. You might listen, I don't always get this thing right. If you don't believe that, you ask my wife. She'll tell you, yeah, I have to remind him every once in a while to put his priorities where they belong. But I'll tell you something, when I do get it right, I've never regretted it. I've never regretted it when I got it right, when I spent the time, when I poured into my family, because they are so important. I want to encourage you at the beginning of this year that you're going to have to say no to some things. And you're going to have to say yes to some things and make family an important priority in your time. Anybody get that this morning? All right. Number three, and I'm going to see if I can move a little faster because, hey, we've only got so many seconds in a day, right? You got to spend some time with others. The Bible uses this phrase, one another, over 100 times, 109 times in the New Testament. We're to love one another, pray for another, bear one another's burdens, encourage one another, serve one another, all kinds of things. Because here's what I know, Christianity is meant to be lived out in community with one another. And that means that we've got to make time for one another. You need to make time for one another. And here's what I can tell you, but you already know it. And that is, most of the times where you need to spend time with somebody else, it's not at the most convenient time. It just doesn't happen, you know, like, "Oh yeah, I'd carved out this time just waiting for the phone to ring because I thought someone in my family might have an emergency. One of my friends might really need me right now, and so I had just carved out this time." No, it doesn't happen that way. It just happens as we're going through the course of life, but we realize people are important. The people around us are important. We got to love one another, care for one another, be there, bear one another's burden, spend time with one another, whether it's opportune or not. Just be flexible enough in that. Then kind of related to that, but different, is time for church. Spend time for church. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." Let me tell you why we come to church. It's so that we can encourage one another. We need one another. You know, on a cold day like today, the first Sunday in January, when there was some ice around, some people said, "Hey, it's not safe for me to get out. I'm glad for a day like today that we've got our streaming, and there are people hopefully watching right now who said, you know, it's still a priority for me to be a part of the church family, even if I can't be there." But, you know, when we went through COVID and we tried to do all the, you know, the streaming and all of that, and it's at best, it's second best, right? When you came back and you felt what you can only feel when you get together in the room with one another. How many of you made those comments? "Man, I'm just so glad to be back in church together with my spiritual church family. Oh, I miss it when I'm not there." It's so valuable, so important. I know there are people who try to tell you, "You don't really need to be to go to church to be a Christian." Well, let me just put it this way. You know, the fish are smart enough, they swim in schools. And cows are smart enough, they eat their grass in herds. And wolves, they travel in packs together with one another. And the geese know that they need to fly together in that V formation. They know, the animals know, they need one another, that life's better when they're together. And I'll just put it to you this way. If we don't think we need each other, we're not really as smart even as the animals are we? It's kind of an IQ test. We really do. We need one another. I need the encouragement that you bring to me. And you need the encouragement that I can give to you. And together, we're so much stronger. So as we're taking time, as we're making the best of time, we want to make time for God. We want to take time for family. We want to make time for others. We want to make the time for the church. And then finally, you need to make some time for yourself. This is some really good practical advice that I want to give you. Make some time for yourself. I'm not talking about becoming selfish, but I'm saying that life pulls on you. Life sucks the energy out of you. Life will drain you at times. And if you're going to be of any value to anybody else, you're going to have to be healthy, body, soul, and spirit, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You need to stay healthy, strengthened, encouraged, and build up. And so what that means is there are times where you need to spend some time doing whatever it is that's going to build you back up again. You know, the psalmist in the 23rd Psalm talked about God being his shepherd, and one of the things that was valuable about that relationship was he restores my soul. He restores my soul. When my soul is weary, when I'm wore out, he restores that. I need that. What does it take? Well, for the psalmist, it's I get to lie down in green pastures. I get to be by the still waters. I don't know what it is that helps to restore your soul. I know for me, green pastures and still waters work pretty good when I'm on my horse. You know, that's what I love to do. But I mean, for somebody, it may be green pasture, you know, with a golf ball, and that's what they do. Some it's a still waters with a fishing rod, and that's what they do. I mean, whatever it is, but you got to find that thing that you do that when you get alone and you're by yourself, you get built up and you get refreshed and you get renewed and you get encouraged back to where you can pour out to others again. You know, like many of you, I started reading through the Bible again yesterday. And so, you know, on this plan where you read so much in the New Testament, so much in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament readings, Genesis 1 and 2, and we're reading about God creating the heavens and the earth, and you get to the seventh day, and it says, and God rested. He rested on the seventh day. He Sabbathed. Shabbat is the Hebrew word there. He Sabbathed. And you're thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute, God rested? Like, did God get tired? Because I thought God, you never slept or slumbered. And he doesn't. And he doesn't get tired. It's not about him getting tired. It's about him ceasing his labor. It's about pulling back. It's about doing something different. It's about changing the direction of what he was doing. And he said it was so good. And he says, I think this man that I'm creating needs that as well. He needs to have those moments where he pulls back and he refreshes and he gets renewed in his spirit and built back up again. We need that in our lives. We need those seasons. If we talk about the rhythms of life, there's seasons when we're working and there's seasons where we need to rest as well. You need to have that balance in your life. Even Jesus, there were times in his ministry where he pulled away from the multitudes and he just got alone with his disciples. And that was building up time for him. And then there were times where he had to get away from the disciples too. You know, like, you guys get on my nerves. I need to get away. I mean, you know, arguing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom kind of stuff. He's like, y'all do that. I'm going to go get along with the Father. And he would just renew himself. We need to do that. So I want to encourage you in this new year that you take time to be physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally healthy and well so that you can do the work of the kingdom that God is calling you to do. And again, that means that you got to learn how to say no to some things and you got to learn how to say yes to some things. And we ask God, Lord, you give me the wisdom of how I need to prioritize and make the best of my time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us to really take to heart this message that you give us in your word. That when you ask us to seek out your wisdom, Lord, help us show us the best use of our time. Help us, Lord, to have wisdom in that. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom in this new year, 2022. Lord, the past is behind us. Maybe there's some folks that the past still haunts them. Past is still difficult for them to look at. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to live in our past. Lord, that you've given us a new day, a new year, a new 86,400 seconds every day to spend with you and doing what's really important. Lord, I'm reminded of the scripture that talks about redeeming the time. That we can literally buy back time, not minutes and seconds, but the word time there is that word for kairos, the season of life. Lord, that we can literally get back lost seasons in our life when we make an effort to live our life for you. Lord, that the things that we thought was gone and wasted and unredeemable, Lord, even those seasons in our life, you're able to redeem them for us. Lord, if there's somebody that's struggling with that today, Lord, feeling like they failed, and I didn't spend enough time with this or enough time with that as I really should have, Lord, let this not be a message that tries to bring condemnation, but Lord, let it be a message that brings the freedom to start fresh today. In this new day, redeeming the time, redeeming the seasons of life that you have given to us. I pray, Lord, you would help us to give you the very best, to spend every moment of our life with you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand the importance of family. God, that we make some priorities and say yes to some things and know to some things so that we can pour in to our kids, to our grandkids, to our family relationships. Lord, help us to be ready to be flexible, to spend the time with others when they need it. Lord, even to spend the time building up our own selves so that we can be useful in your kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, you are that kind of a God, and you love us that way.